expand on every life, for your word tonight. I pray that you will do something extraordinary in every single person's life tonight. I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. I want to talk to you for a few minutes tonight. I'm glad I have the opportunity to do this tonight. You would be very well to write some of these scriptures down. The scriptures that I'm going to share with you tonight are some of the lifelong scriptures that have helped me come out in seasons of my life out of some very dark, difficult places and see God do some great and healthy things in my life and in and through my family. These are important for you. And I just wanted to share this thought with you tonight. It'll just be a few minutes, but I've got several scriptures. These are key scriptures that have changed my life, and I believe that they can change yours. And I want to encourage you. Tonight, I hope that I deposit something in your heart that will take you another level in believing God for bigger and greater things in your life. What, no matter what it is, if you're running up against something, if you have a hard time having faith for Him to do things in your life, tonight is your night. This could be a turning point for someone here. I believe that with all my heart. In John chapter 14, and I'm going to have a myriad of scriptures, so I can't really have you turn to one. And that's why I'm telling you, if you could write some of these down, these are key scriptures for you to believe God with and for Him to lift you out of some of the places that maybe you're struggling with. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing." I'm reading out of the New International. "He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father." Jesus never intended for His power, for the miraculous power that He displayed when He walked on the earth, to cease when He was gone. He never did that. And He's also encouraging you and I that we are to believe Him to see those things happen in our lives. And to see greater things than those happen because His Spirit is now living inside of us. And we have to believe Him for this dimension of the supernatural to be a part of our everyday life. And that's not weird. That's not spooky. That's supernatural. That's Him taking things that are natural in your life and doing something so extraordinary with them that the culture that you live in, the society, the people that you are around, they can't believe it because something is happening different in your life and they can't put their finger on it. How does this happen for you? I tell you, I believe this for my life all the time, that God can do things in my life, in my family. You hang around me, I tell people all the time, you get near me, you're going to get blessed because I have the favor of God on my life and I believe it. I mean, it doesn't make me special. This is for anyone. But he wants you and I to believe Him that He can do exceeding and abundantly above all you could ask or think. The Bible says if He has conquered death, hell, and the grave, He has conquered fear, He has conquered your sickness, He has conquered everything. And you say, "Well, how come you're wearing that boot tonight?" Believe me, I won't be on my foot long. Newsweek took a poll and asked how many people believed that there was a devil. 65% said they did. In the same poll among Christians, they said 85% said that they did. Still, some are not sure. And the enemy just wants to come and take that seed out of your heart and cause you to think that you can't do anything, you can't believe Him for anything, oh, don't believe Him for that. God doesn't want to do anything extraordinary in your life. Look where you came from. Look who you are. But the contrary is true. He has something powerful for your life and for your destiny. In Revelation 12, verse 7 through 11, the Bible talks about how Satan himself was cast out of heaven. The Bible says, "I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ has come, for the accuser of the brethren has been cast down." I like that. In verse 11, it says, "And they overcame him." Who? The power of the enemy. You're going to want the scripture. You're going to wonder. You're going to be 2 weeks from now, you're going to be saying, "Where was that scripture?" Now, you can email me. I'll send you the notes for $100. No, I'm joking. But it helped you to write this down. They overcame him. Listen to this. By the blood of the Lamb. Listen to what I talked about it on Sunday. The word of their testimony. How they talked. And not loving their lives even unto the death. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to tell you what. I may go down. But I'll be going down. You'll be hearing praises. You'll be hearing me singing that song out of my mouth right to the end. And I'll step into heaven and I'll meet my Savior. But I will not let the enemy take one victory out of my life that he doesn't deserve. And Jesus Christ has come not only to bring forgiveness, but he's come to bring healing. He's come to bring deliverance. He's come to help us with these strongholds that are in our lives so that we don't have to be controlled by them any longer. Listen, here comes the verses, Acts 10:38. Many of you know these, but some of you have never heard them before. Jesus went about doing good, and he was healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. This is the Jesus. 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he may destroy the works of the evil one, of the devil. Luke 10 verse 19 says, behold, I give you power to tread upon, this is you and I, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Come on tonight. Romans 8 verse 37 says, yet in all of these things, everybody say all things, all of these things, you and I, we are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. So if we know that there is a devil, God says there's something greater in him. And James 4, 7 says, resist him and he will flee from you. The reason that sometimes people are going through things is because they entertain it and they don't speak with their mouth and say, be gone in Jesus' name. There was a debate going on with the disciples and some religious folks in Mark chapter 9 and verse 16. Reading out of the New International Version again. And he says, what are you arguing with them about? Jesus asked. A man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son. This is quite a story. I love this. Who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth. He gnashes his teeth and he becomes rigid. I saw one of those kids in the big kids last week. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. The man said, I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they couldn't. And Jesus looked at him and he said, you unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. Bring him here. And they brought him. And when the spirit saw Jesus, it wasn't the Holy Spirit, it was an evil spirit. It immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and he rolled around foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, yo, how long has he been like this? From childhood, the dad answered. And has thrown him into a fire or water to kill him. And this is it. He said, but if you can do anything, Jesus, if you can do anything, if you can do it, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said, I love how he says, if you can, everything is possible for the one who believes. Hear that tonight. I want you to let that sink into your heart, into your spirit tonight. Everything is possible to the one who believes. What do you believe in God for? Have you lost your ability to believe him? He says, everything is possible for the one who believes. And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, he said, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Help me to get past this doubt in my life. And many of us were serving the Lord, and during that season, we can become frustrated with the whole aspect that God can do anything in and through our lives and for the people that we love, in our homes, in our families. When we think about this, we know that he can, but will he? I'm not really sure. And we get this feeling in our heart, and we're not sure why we have this. And we have this, what is called doubting faith. We believe like the people that are around us sometimes. You need to be careful about this. Who you open your heart and your life up to. We are infected by the people who are around us. If you need something big in your life and you're hanging around with a bunch of people that say that'll never happen, if you need a touch from God in your life, if you're sick in your body, if you got something going on in your life and you're hanging around with a bunch of people that say, oh, well, that's just the way it is, you're in trouble. You need to get around some people that believe God and will stand with you and believe Him to do something greater than you ever thought. At the hardest times of my life, thank God for the people that would come into my life and speak over my life and say, you're going to make it. You can do this. Pray for me even tonight. Praying for me. Powerful. That verse 19, he says, you unbelieving generation. He says, not just the dad there. He's talking about the whole culture we live in. And we're living in that today. And he says, how long have I got to tell you this that I want to do this for you? We live in a culture that doesn't believe, and we associate sometimes with people that don't encourage us to believe. In 2 Corinthians 6, 14 and 15, it says, don't be yoked together with unbelievers. For what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? You got to watch who you associate your heart with when it comes time for you to believe something for Him to do. And then we believe that God is fickle. Maybe He will, maybe He won't. Maybe He will on Sunday, He won't on Tuesday. God's not like that. The man said, if you can do anything, take pity on us. We engage in this scenario with God in our life of the if factor. Well, if He could, I guess if He wanted to, He could. And we disengage from the core belief and the faith in God that He not only can, that He will. If you can, Jesus said, hey, look at everything is possible for him that believes. And I want to encourage you tonight to believe God for something bigger than you could do in your own strength. Believe him to go beyond where you could ever go in your own ability. Some of you tonight, when I talked about that dream center, you heard me say it and you thought, well, you know, I'd like to do that, but it'd never work. You need to believe God for that. You need to believe him for the smallest things in your life. Even David struggled with it in Psalm chapter 10, verse 1. He said, why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? And the reality, he doesn't. He's right there with you. He's right there. And then we believe kind of. And this creates an instability in our life. Why doesn't God do this the way we think he should, or when we thought he should, or he could have done it when I needed it. And the reality of it is, my brothers and sisters, we don't really know all the time why he doesn't do it when we think he should. But he always knows the best for you and I. And he's got something good. He's working something really good in your life. James 1, 6, 7 and 8. When he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he should receive anything of the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in everything that he does. Unstable. But here's a thought on having faith on God tonight. Here's one of the key scriptures, Hebrews 11, 1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of the things we haven't yet seen. My goodness. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it's the evidence of things I haven't seen yet. Haven't seen it. Haven't seen everything that God's going to do. Man, I remember, you know, I've been doing this for a while. I remember when we were younger, we're believing things. I'm calling things for. They were so erratic. If people heard me the way I pray and heard the things that I was asking God for, they'd think you are out of your mind. But you know what? God's done exceeding and abundantly above what I could ask or think. He gave things I didn't see yet. He's got things for you here tonight. Things that you're praying for. Things that maybe you're afraid to ask him for. But he's already put them together. He can do that. Faith is not even based on the outcome, but it's based on who he is. Believing him. So I just want to give you these few little thoughts. Number one, you have an authority that comes through his name. This is important for you to know. The Bible says in Mark 9:25, when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. And this is what Jesus did. He said, "You deaf and you mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never come into him again." Woo, that's power right there. Jesus, in the middle of this, he models what spiritual warfare is. And when we hear that word, many people, there's many backgrounds here. You hear that and you think, you know, it may be this way, it may be that way. This is how it is. You use his name in the name of Jesus. When Jesus saw it, he rebuked it. He said, "You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and don't enter him again." It doesn't say he was screaming. It doesn't say that the musicians were playing at the top. It doesn't say any of that. He spoke to him. He used the name. And Jesus is bigger than the problems that we face. Verse 26, then the Bible says the spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and it came out. And the boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. Verse 27, but Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. It was powerful. Use the name of Jesus. Don't just flippantly flow it around. But when you need something, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Because that name is above every other name. At that name, the Bible says, every knee shall bow. At the name, sickness bows, cancer bows, a hurt heal on my foot. It's got to get better at the name of Jesus. If you're hurt, if you're struggling in your finances, you got to pray in the name of Jesus and watch him do a miracle in your life. Man, I love that. Number two, your confidence comes through your relationship with him. Mark 9:29 said, so he said to them, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. You know what happens when you pray and fast? You get closer to God. Help me, Lord, I'm gonna die here if I don't get something to eat. Some of you don't even, if I talk fasting, you turn me right off. Like you're doing right now. I ain't moving until I get a smile or a nod or something. You turn me off. And the Bible says if you're going to really touch that level of that supernatural occurrences in your life, he said it only comes out through prayer and through fasting. You've got to step into that. And your faith level comes through that relationship that you build in that moment of time. Every year when we spend that time at the beginning of the year, and I think I'm going to do it again in September. I just feel that churning in me. I don't know. I'll just ask the Lord. But man, you get a week, you get 2 weeks, you get 3 weeks of fasting and prayer. I'm telling you what, you think you can walk on water. Life begins to change. Mountains begin to move. The Bible says that you have to develop this relationship through prayer, through fasting, and through the word. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You got to hear it. You got to get it into you. There's so many ways in the day that we live in that you can hear God's word. You have no excuse. You can download a free Bible app on your phone. You can look at the Bible. It's even got a place under. You can click on it. You can have somebody read it to you. You can access messages, and you can listen to people reading the Bible. There's no excuse. You got to get it into you to see the power of his word working through you. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, and observe to do everything that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Listen to this, Matthew 4:4. He answered and said, it is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Some of you, you're so concerned about what you're eating, but you got to get God's word in you and begin to speak it. And to begin to declare it. Matthew 21:13 said, he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. John 20, verse 31, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. Romans 1, 17 says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. James says, you say you have faith with no works? I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith in God. Romans 10, 15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those, check it out, who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Romans 14, 11. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess. Whether you do it on this side or that side, you're going to do it. Every knee. Do you hear me? Every knee. Everybody say, every knee. Every knee. People can be as obstinate as they want. One day, it doesn't matter if you're Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Assembly of God, Nazarene, Free Methodist, Bound Methodist. I don't care who you are. You will bow. It won't be, I won't die a Presbyterian, I won't die an independent, I will die a Christian because my knee bowed to Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, 54. So when this corruptible has put on the incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. In victory. 1 Peter 1, 16 says, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Revelation 1:3 says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. I love that. I could just keep on going here. Number three, your power really comes through the cross. Mark 9:31, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days, he'll rise again. The ultimate blow to the works of the enemy is when Jesus went to the cross. He shed his blood. He died. He gave up everything. And the Bible says he was buried on the third day. God raised him again from the dead. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:15 says, having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Oh, the devil thought he had Jesus. He thought he had humanity all wrapped up. He's going to destroy the world. He was going to bring chaos. When he saw Jesus hanging on the cross and saw everybody carrying him away and burying him, putting the stone on that tomb, but on that third day, the devil, the demons in hell were partying, and then all of a sudden, heaven and earth begin to shake. The Bible says the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. Jesus came out of that grave. He defeated death, hell, the power of Satan over your life then, now, and forever. My goodness. And he made a spectacle. The enemy was shaking. I don't know what they were drinking and partying over, but the power of Jesus made a public display, said, you're finished. You have no power, not now, not ever. He walks around, the Bible says, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, but don't let him. I don't care how hard he comes at you. You stand up against him in the name of Jesus. You take authority. Come on, you parents in your home, you don't let the enemy come in and push you around. You stand up and do what's right in the sight of God. Amen. That's it right there. Come on. Do you love him? Give him another big hand clap. I told you I was going to have a bunch tonight. Chuck, I didn't hardly hear an amen out of you. I was preaching out of your Bible. Thank you, God. Just close your eyes. Open up your hands. Let him touch your life tonight. Let that power come inside of you tonight. Same power that raised Christ from the dead. If it dwells inside of you, if you've given your heart to him, his power, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you. The Bible says it'll bring life to your mortal body. He'll speak life into dead things. You may be here tonight. I really sense this in my heart tonight. That there's a relationship, there's a marriage that it appears dead. And I sense tonight, just keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed just for a minute. I sense tonight, and I want to say to whoever that is, God's going to bring life to that. If you'll let Him, if you'll say to God, Lord, I need help. You may be the reason for where it's at. I don't know. Maybe your spouse doesn't matter. Jesus says, I bring life to dead things. Maybe you've lost hope in the future. Maybe you're just afraid. You wake up every day and fear is gripping your heart and your life. I want to tell you tonight, in the name of Jesus, you shall live. You may be here tonight. You may have been hoping for one thing and something different happened. I want you to know tonight, there's power in the name of Jesus. I don't know why it happened. I don't know when it's going to change. But if you can trust Him, He'll take you up another level right in the midst of whatever it is you've been dealing with. Some of you need to speak some life in your home, in your situation. Some of you need to speak it in your job, in your workplace. Some of you need to be bold in where you live, in the region that you live in. Whether you're in this city or another town or community, you need to drive through, walk through, and speak life. Hope. If any of those things that I just said tonight, just slip up your hand. I'm going to pray right now and believe God with you, Father, in Jesus' name. I speak life. I speak the name of Jesus over your life tonight. Whatever it is that you're facing, you're dealing with, God, I pray that you will let them know and see your power alive in their heart and in their life tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, my goodness. There is a power right here, right now. Lord, your praise will ever be on my lips. I sense that power, God. Thank you for that tonight. Come on, just receive that right now where you're at. You don't have to move right now. I just feel like He wants to help you right where you're at tonight. Ma'am, trust Him. Sir, trust Him. Push the enemy out of your home, out of your life. Maybe you've been traveling down a direction that is bringing harm to you. God's not worried about where you've been. He's concerned about where you're going from here. Give Him your heart. Give Him your life tonight. Give Him everything. Thank you, God. Spirit of the living God, I ask you tonight, God, that you will touch and fall afresh on every single life, on every home. Just keep your eyes closed just for a minute. I just sense the Lord just speaking to me right now. As I'm praying that, I felt the Lord say, for some of you, there's some things in your house you need to get out of your house. I don't know what that is. I mean, I have a sense of it, but I don't need to do that. You know, whoever that is, you know who I'm talking to, and you know what it is. And He hasn't told me anyone here, but I just sense that in my heart tonight. If you'll clean those things out of your house, you'll do something brand new in your life. Got to clean it out. Got to get it out. Thank you, God. Look around tonight. Just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed just for a minute. Look around tonight. You have an object of something, something somebody gave you at one time that's connected with evil. Get it out. The enemy loves to capitalize on that. The Bible says, give the enemy no foothold. That means don't open a crack. Because if you do, he'll come in. He'll bring destruction in your home, in your life, in your family. Get it out. Then let your praise For God be on your lips. Let it be ever be on your lips. Ever be on your lips. God, I want to thank you tonight for your kindness. I want to thank you for your love. You've been so kind to us. I pray, Lord, for every person here, the goodness of God will be upon their lives. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said amen. I love you a lot. I love every single one of you. I love you. I thank God for you. You're special. You got a destiny on your life. God's going to do something great with you. Do you believe it? Come on, do you believe it? Some of you, you've given up. You've given up on your life. You think your life is coming to an end. It's not over. Something great he's going to do in and through you. Believe that tonight, okay? I love you. Go in his grace tonight. Make sure you say hi to some people as you're leaving tonight. Maybe somebody needs a hug. I don't know.